We're live.
We are indeed chives. Welcome, everybody, to In the Tank 40K with my beautiful co-host, Eddie. How you doing, my bro?
Well, it's the first time you ever called me Eddie. I'm good, thank you. Russell, how are you?
I'm all right. Thank you,
my also gorgeous co-host. Got your hair back today, obviously, you know.
Thank you.
Yeah, drop to your knees.
Believe it or not, I've had a cut a little bit, like it's been shears. I've gone for my annual shearing.
I can imagine like you going into a little one of those sheep pens and they like trap you and you're like
the amount that came off, even though it doesn't look like it, would have probably given enough for an entire like 4 wigs. So
yeah.
There you go. Would you wear wigs?
Do you wear wigs?
I wear wigs. So yeah, how's life been, dude? How you been doing? It's been a hot minute since we had a pod.
Yeah, it's been a very exciting one today.
Has been busy. You've been busy, B. What you been up to?
Battle barning as usual. My life for the battle barn now.
My life is the barn.
But yeah, it's been mostly that. We went away for a week, which was lovely.
A holiday? You did a couple of holidays.
Yeah, I had my mum's birthday, so we went there, and then we went to Spain, which was nice as well, to see my old man at his place. So, good fun, but it's takes a week out of my painting schedule, which is destructive.
Yeah, true, but you sent me the most epic voice note ever on WhatsApp when I was just chatting absolute bollocks to you, and then your dad sent a voice message to me
being
like, "Because you're a fucking meta chaser," and I died. I love your old man anyway. Your old man is an absolute lad. But I was like rolling around on the floor going, "This is incredible. This is incredible. What a twist! It was very funny."
But yeah, so I've just been doing loads of work for the barn, really. What about you? What have you been up to?
Life in general, right? Like I had a bit of a break, which was really good. Didn't go anywhere, but just like spent some time with the old fam-a-lam. It was good summer, man. Summer's intense for families, as I'm sure you can attest.
Yeah.
Right? And you know, our lads are going to school soon, so we got all that like last minute preppage to be doing for them, bless them. Just life's full on at the moment. But here we are, loving you all. Thank you for listening.
Thanks for coming back.
So I'm going to do the classic GW stance, manager stance, and be like, "So, what are you working on?
Oh, well, what am I working on? What aren't I working on is probably a shorter answer.
That is true, actually. But what are
currently
you working on
my hobby desk.
Perspective?
The main thing that I've been working on recently is getting the CSM to a playable state. So I have painted up Abaddon, a Lord Discordant, 5 Chosen, Bile, and what else have I done? Oh, 6 Bikes as well, and then 12 Noise Marines. So quite a lot of random stuff. But that's going to basically allow me to sort of cobble it together with what Sam's lent me to be able to at least make a playable list to play you with this weekend, which is going to be great. What? We'll talk about more about that later. And then apart from that, I have built and been painting some hyper-adapted Raveners for the Gene Stealer Colts final day / just, you know, NIDs in the future. Which is cool.
Oh, nice.
I've been painting up some bikes for the Gene Stealer Colts as well, and just a few more acolytes so that I can slowly buff those guys up, because I need more shit for them basically at the minute. Just don't have enough.
Poor army, bro.
And I love the bikes and I've wanted to paint them for ages. So that's what I'm working on with them. And then I've also on my hobby desk, I've been building AdMech ready for my next big project, which is going to be the AdMech. We're going to be doing them yellow. The Battle Barn community has spoken. So that's going to be awesome. Exciting stuff.
Another
Horde army. But again, luckily, Sam has lent me circa 1,000 points that will allow me to get it on
good.
The table
foot
quicker.
Foot in the door.
Exactly. That actually really does help, because otherwise it would just take me months. Because it's just one of those things, like when you've got a few units already done, it doesn't feel as bad like with the CSM. But when you're looking down the barrel of painting a 2K army, you're like, oh my God, it's a lot. Especially with a Horde army.
Oh my God.
But that's what I've been working on. It's loads of stuff, isn't it?
That is quite substantial.
What about you?
To be fair. Well, I'm going to save the gooey one, both figuratively and kind of literally, to last, right?
Yeah.
But, yeah, I had a bit of a Beastman. I definitely want to get Beastman done for Old World as a fun aside. So I've been doing my Minotaur Blood Herd for that, and you're like, oh, square bases. Terrible.
Awful. I literally can't even.
And I've got some opponents in mind for my first few games, but I've put together lists for Old World, which is like concocting a delicious, very complex recipe in the same way that I do for 40K, where I've just gone, I'm just going to play 16 Minotaurs. Like, literally, like,
full
that's all
I've done. Yeah.
Just like monsters. I've just gone, I just want to play monsters today. So that's what I'm doing for that. So that'd be cool.
Love it.
Although, I put that on hold because I am sorting out some Death Guard. Both for my barn appearance at the weekend, which I'm very hyped about.
Me too.
Because I need some revenge for last game, quite frankly, because how a human being can fail that many charges.
You only hurt yourself. I did nothing wrong.
It's beyond my comprehension. Yeah, well, you cursed me, I think.
I don't think so.
Dark magics. Some sort of dark magics, to be fair.
Which dice were you using? The orange ones? Or were you using your own dice?
No, my Beastman dice.
Oh, yes, you were.
That I now melted.
Are they a doorstop now?
Basically, yes. But I went into Reading G-dubs the other day and learnt about their Armies on Parade thing that's happening in late October. So I'm going to get my Death Guard army, like, as in 2,000 points of it, 3,000 points of it, completely painted to, like finally finished level to send them on parade at Reading.
That'd be the first time you've ever done that, won't it?
Pretty much.
It is actually.
And then that evening, I will play that army on the barn as well.
Yeah.
Because it'll be the same day. And the medals look amazing for that, Ed. They look so good. So I'm like, yeah. And it'd be quite nice to show my face. Potentially represent the barn there as well. Barn schmoozing.
Have you checked me out on this channel?
No, I've just been recognised, mate.
I still haven't been, but I don't mind. That's not what I'm in
that.
It for. You are, but you're just very easy to spot, you know?
You're nondescript.
You're like the abominable snowman. I'm always like, oh. It's
also my voice that people recognise weirdly. Mm-hmm. Like when we were at Element Games in Birmingham and the guy was like, like my voice was like there. But essentially, as part of this Armies of Parade and also the weekend, I needed a centerpiece that I think would be relevantly awesome. So I've been painting Mortarion.
The
stinky moth boy that he is. And I think I've done, like, this is me being really, like, really, like, chill about
Blow
it.
A bit of smoke up your own ass. Go on.
Oh, God, he's good at it. He's good.
He looks good. I'll give you that much. He looks good.
Yeah, man. Yeah, man.
He looks good.
I've even got the plasma glow on the old lantern.
That thumbnail that we're going to have this weekend, / those army intros.
God.
Oh, my Lord, they're going to look savage. Because we've got your beautiful Mortarion, which you have spent many a moon painting.
I have, actually.
And then you've got my Abaddon with his retro wave sword, synth wave sword.
Looks great.
Whatever.
Looks so cool. Yeah.
I've been doing more to that sword, by the way. It's going to look even better when it's finished. Yeah, you wait. Been doing some highlighting.
See, which will look really contrasting because you have like stinky moth boy type of detail and then like wicked like synthy Abaddon, which will just look so contrasting.
God damn, I can't wait. I was so like, I had like a real internal debate when I was painting the Noise Marines about what bases to do with them, because I was like, I wanted to match them in at least somewhat with my CSM, but also I wasn't sure exactly how to do it. Now, my CSM are the same as the knights that I've painted, which is my Planet of the Sorcerers style base that I've done, which is like a sort of bluey, kind of shadowy, reddy kind of really
with like pinky tufts.
Like bright neon blue, pink tufts with like blue bases. They're the alien ones you can get from like Gamers Grass. They're so cool.
They are cool.
And all of my like plasma glows are like bright pink, Doomfire, magenta, and stuff. So it looks sick. But obviously, the Noise Marines that I've done, they've got like more of that sort of athematic kind of blue glow, and they've got like these greeny tabards and hair and stuff. And I was like, and obviously they're a different color scheme. They're sort of more of a reddish pink. So what I've done is I've done them the same base scheme, but I'm using different tufts. So the tufts that I'm going to use on those ones draw off of their more bluey-green colour.
Ooh,
it's going to look sick, I think. But they kind of tie in quite nicely.
I like that, like, when you have a Chaos Army at home, sometimes you want, like, a tiny little bit of unifying scheme across
them.
Yeah,
that's what I've kind of aimed for.
Like, weirdly, between my Death Guard, my CSM, and stuff like that, the one unifying colour is, like, turquoise. Which is like their loincloths and stuff.
Loincloth,
weirdly, exactly. It goes across all of them.
Yeah.
And it looks amazing when they're all on shelf
together.
Looks
sick,
even though they have vastly different aesthetics, really.
Yeah,
like having one unifying subconscious scheme going through them all.
I do really like that really blue that you've got, that dark sort of, you've gone almost like oceanic-y kind of like. It's really cool. It obviously brings in those... is it Mezgite minis that you've got?
Yeah, the dredge.
The dredge, so it brings in that, like...
There
you go! Oh, it's so cool. I can't wait. This is going to be such a game. We can talk about it now if you want.
Yeah, tune in, please.
So there's some beef going on here, because Russ has played four games on the barn, and each one of those games has been nail-bitingly close.
Very close.
But Russ has yet to win one.
No.
And now it's become a meme.
It's become a thing.
And last, he actually, there's a clip of Russ like screaming, which is now a voice thing in the battle.
We didn't have it as a short ed at some point.
Yes, we will. We do need that. But yeah, so like this is a real big game, because Russ is, you know, he's had a little bit of a nerf, not much. I think you lost about 150 points out of your list or something. So which is like a small squad of Death Shroud. So that's not terrible. But, like, you know, I think I've just watched Art of War's tier list video, and they've put Death Guard as the second best faction in the game currently, still. Eldari. Because Eldari are so good at countering Chaos Knights, and they're very good into CSM, Death Guard, because they could turn Overwatch off, and they're bullshit, aren't they? But yeah, so I think they're in a really strong place. You've had a few games with the list now, or variations of it. So I think this is your game to lose. I'm going into it with CSM, which I've never played before. And I'm playing Renegade Raiders, which is going to be really interesting, because they have some spice, but they are tricky to play, I think. So I think I'm favouring you on the odds for this one. And I hope you win. But if you don't, thank the you. Memes are going to be unparalleled.
I think the one ace in your hole, so to speak, is your Noise Marines, actually.
Oh, yes.
Purely for the
fact that
Death Guard are like, come into combat. Because, like, it never goes well on the whole if you, like, voluntarily come to a Death Guard play. Unless you're, like, another specialized combat army like World Eaters or Space Wolves or Blood Angels or whatever, right?
Yeah.
So I think I have the advantage over your combat-based CSM units, which is quite a lot, right? Which is quite a lot of your army. But that gnarly, I'm going to wreck you. It will all come down to you opening up on me with all those Noise Marines and killing enough shit.
Because those Noise Marines get serious spice.
They're really strong,
I can give them like lethals or sustain.
Oh, yeah, no, I'm aware.
I've got like
totally
full hit and wound rerolls coming out of a Rhino. They've got extra AP if you're standing on an objective.
It's
fucking scary,
but
that unit.
Like, all my army has invulns and a lot of it has feel no pains. Right. So if you bounce from that shot,
I'm in trouble. Yeah,
it is like it's like a Clint Eastwood shoot me, like pick up the gun, shoot me, right? Because then I just literally walk over you.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's like fuck you. Yeah. I just like eat you. Right. So it will all come down to how you tactically use those Noise Marines.
I think I have got to play a little bit defensively in this game, because I think I need to get you to come down and commit.
Which I'm going to have to.
And then when you do, I'm going to have to hit you back so hard that I take you out of the game. That's the only way I'm going to win it, I think.
Yeah, I agree.
And it's going to be tricky because you've got tricks. Those Death Shroud Deep Strike charges with the 6-inch Deep Strike is bonkers strong.
If I can make them. I can make them. Also, I've got the ace in my hole, of course, this game is Morty himself.
Yeah.
Who is, he is gross.
He's a beast.
He hadn't had any points upgrades, thank you. Thank you very much, G-Dubbers. And also his Lord of the Death Guard ability.
To oh, so good.
Fight on death on two ups or a bit of movement or whatever is just like, ugh. Like
Abby is planning to shove Drachnion right up his crease at some point.
I don't think you can kill him, though. I don't think he has the capacity to do it in one combat. And then Moy will just like scythe him in half, like silence him in half.
He will.
Either way, we've got some great fans of the channel, like males, the presenter and fan of
part of the team.
We do. Like, he's well up for it. Like, just tune in, please. 7 o'clock do. On Saturday.
7:30.
Oh, 7:30. Sorry.
Yeah, 7:30 p.m. UK Saturday. BST.
And we'll all have a great time. Mm-hmm. Speaking of which, like, comment, subscribe, please.
Well remembered.
Can you get your ass subscribing, please? Because we would really appreciate it. Check out Ed's...
What?
What's your Instagram handle?
EddieS40K.
EddieS40K. Eddie Stanton 40K. Yeah. And of course, Count Ruskin and Minis and the Battle Bower and In the Tank 40K on various places. And join our Discord because we talk shit all the time and I get Space Wolf jokes thrown at me all the time and it's hilarious. And it's not very hilarious, but there we go. It's all good. So we need to do our civic duty and announce the winners of the Abaddon Whitney Miniatures Sculpting Contest. Now, essentially, for anyone that doesn't know, me and Ed were honourably asked to judge and do a little speak to the Abaddon Whitney Arts Department in regards to sculpting digitally that would then be 3D printed. Some minis for either Sigma or 40K with any background or any information and stuff like that they wanted to add to it. We gave some advice and stuff. And what was your, after looking at them and stuff like that, are you quite impressed?
I'm thoroughly impressed. Yeah, really impressed. Like some of them, I was like, what? This is like students making this stuff?
Yeah.
Incredible. There's some very skilled artistic talent in there. You can definitely see that. You really can.
I think the hobby in general is in safe hands, right? And like there are a lot of talented young people out there in the world. So
very,
very, very cool. So essentially what we have is we have out of all of the year groups and all of the entries, thank you everybody for entering, by the way. We appreciate it. We know that I think 10 of you are having them actually printed out and done. I've had a look at them in person and they're fantastic. But we have just chosen our top three winners and two honourable mentions, okay? Mm. So we'll do the honourable mentions first. So the first one, because it is for the lols, so to speak, is Aiden's Blackstone Billy,
yeah,
which is this knighty guy on this pile of skulls. I need to read out the deep lore of Blackstone Billy very quickly because this made me laugh. His first little go at it is here. This is not at all connected to the Warhammer universe because, God forbid, the lore is way too much to read. Welcome to the club, Billy. Aiden, sorry. Billy was born in Blackstone Kingdom. He was a very aggressive kid growing up and would start fights daily in the local courtyard. As he grew up, he wanted to become a knight. Not just any knight, though. The right-hand man to the king of Blackstone Kingdom. He fought and killed many innocent men in the name of the king to become worth becoming of the king's top knight. But after all, he claimed so many bodies, the king set him off on a dangerous task to grab a mysterious crystal that held immense power. After a lot of intense and really cool fighting, you just missed it, Billy has to take the crystal. As he was making his way back to the kingdom, it started whispering to him, calling his name. And once he was at the kingdom gate, he refused to give it up. So the king, just being unreasonably impatient, killed him on the spot. Oh, poor Blackstone Billy. We kind of have, yeah, exactly. I reckon he'd be resurrected.
Yeah, by the stone.
Crystal, by the stone, demon stone. Demon Stone. Yeah. Right, there we go. So that's Blackstone
very
Billy.
Cool.
Thank you very much, Aiden. That's very cool. Love the funny Billy. He's great. So that's awesome. And then the other honourable mention was a very cool orc truck with speakers in it by
Harry.
Very
cool. Yes, very cool, Harry.
This just looks like a fucking orc truck.
You just need the orc guitar guy on the front. Absolutely perfect bass for him, right?
Exactly. That's the only thing this model needs is like a pilot or something.
It's very Mad Max. I love it. Cool.
Quintessentially, like a goth rocker,
and well made as well. Like you can see that you've designed it well. It's nice.
There's a lot of homage to like orky elements, if that makes sense. Like I really liked the like vents and stuff on it. Well, mm-hmm. they put exhausts on it and stuff, yep. and like the speakers look really cool. It just literally needs the goth rocker on the front, yeah, rocking exactly. out, right? And then it's perfect. So in terms of doing it, like, that was great, but we had some great entries. So our number third position is, this is where I had to be a cop out, as you say. What did you call me? Like a progressive,
no,
like,
I didn't
modern
say anything
man.
Like that. Don't about.
Just outing you.
I just said, why don't you just pick all of them?
True. No, you didn't. There was some sass. So we have a joint third place.
Yes.
Because both of these were unbelievably well sculpted, yeah. and really cool. And they both are Sigma-esque, yes. minis, right? So we've got Layla's Ideneth Deepkin sort of serpent with the most awesome base.
Yeah, really,
like,
cool.
She's fucking completely gone to town.
Very cool
on the base.
Concept art as well. Like, I can tell, yeah. Layla's got some artistic talent there. Very cool.
We'll go through the steps, I imagine, of design, mm. and going, okay, this is what I want it to be and stuff. But what I really liked was, I think she really took into what we said in the count in regards to the dynamic posing of the base, the detail on the base. Mm. It just looks wicked. Like, it looks really, really, really good, and something that you would see like in a Deepkin mm-hmm. army or whatever. And then the other honourable mention, again, another Sigma-era set thing, is Anna's Octo Companion for the Caradhran cool. Overlords, which could just as easily fit with fantasy dwarves in general. Just cool. As like an Admech fan, what do you think of that?
I like it. He kind of, I don't know if you've ever heard of Heimerdinger from League of Legends, but it kind of gives me vibes like that a little bit.
Very much so.
Yeah, it's very really cool. So. Very, very sort of like... I don't even know how to put it. It's fun. I like it.
It's very much steampunk. The brief of... Yeah, exactly. I think it's very much the brief of what Anna was setting out to achieve there, right? Like, really, really cool. Would scale down well. A bit spindly, but, like, looks brilliant for what you're trying to achieve,
yeah, very
there.
Nice.
And who doesn't love a little bit of steampunk action, right? Yeah. So, well done.
Love there. A good cog.
Love a good cog. Absolutely. So, second place.
Yeah.
Just because you were just like, this is the first one that you saw and you're like, wow, that could just literally be a thing, was Joseph's Chapter Master.
Yes.
Dual wielding chainswords.
Very
jump
cool.
pack. Everyone loves a jump pack Chapter Master, don't they? They love a jump pack Chapter Master. We all do. Smash
Very
Captain.
Well made model. Very nicely done.
Really cool, isn't it? Like, really, really cool. Makes you understand as well how hard I think cloth is to sculpt as well.
I should imagine.
So you've done a really, you know, amicable job of that. I love that just the dual wielding chainswords as well. Like, when one, we don't have that in 40K. We have no character that dual wields chainswords.
No.
Why? Why is that not a thing? Like, I'm like, that is so cool.
We got couple of really big two handed chainswords, but no
exactly,
dual wielders.
Exactly, like Gabriel
really.
Seths and Ragnar Blackmane.
And yeah,
right?
Ragnar's as well, yeah.
So we should have two chainswords would be like the coolest. Like a dervish of death just coming at you. Like, just love that. Love that. So yeah, look at that. Like, that's brilliant. Like, absolutely love that design. That was fantastic. And then I think the ultimate winner, and I was so impressed by this, we've even got stats. We've got a 20-inch charge, which means that I can never fail it. Of course, it's David's Space Pirates Captain Thornblade.
Yeah,
wow. What a model. Like, looks great. That is just a 40K mini, however you slice it, right?
Yeah.
Heroic pose, brilliant pose, standing, you've got tactical, like, not rocks, tactical, like, blocks, like, tactical crates, tactical crates.
It feels
crates.
Very, like, Necromunda / you know, Kill Teamy for me as well.
Like, I was thinking, like, an Imperial agent, maybe, like, a rogue trader or something, right?
Exactly,
like, really cool. Love the power sword. The pose was it, man, for me.
Yeah.
Such a cool heroic pose. Kind of got like a bolter sort of bolt pistol kind of weapon. You even got like tubes and stuff on the base there. Love it.
Very
and
good.
Yeah, I think we need 20-inch charges in 40K, quite frankly.
Yeah.
I need that.
You need it, yeah. God, you can deal with the 20-inch.
There we go. So, I think that's a totally fair thing. So thank you to everyone
that
entered, and thank you very much. I hope you all go on to have incredible careers, or the year ones going into year two, or the year twos either going into the workplace or going to uni and stuff like that. Good luck. Uni's tough.
Good luck.
Buckle down. You have a great time. work hard, party hard.
Yeah.
It's all good.
And if it doesn't work out, you can always fall back and become like a music teacher or something.
Oh, you. That is so unbelievably mean. You know, that's like my first choice of job, not my like
was
backup.
It?
Thank you very much.
Oh, okay. What was your backup? What was your backup? I need to know now. What's your backup?
I ain't talking about this now. Like,
what's your backup?
I'm not going to talk about
it. I need to know. You can't leave me hanging. What's your backup?
No, I'm not going to talk about it. It's none of your business. Right, okay. So that was that, and the mysterious Russ's backup plan, which I'm refusing to discuss.
God
on
damn!
Here. Thank you very much. I think you know if you really think about it. So there we go. So that's that. So thank you, everyone that entered there. That was brilliant. Thank you. Let's move on to some topics. Yeah. There be leaks ahoy there.
Oh,
lads.
Doobie,
leaky,
yeah.
Leaky.
Old Chatsumaster Varrox are like rubbing his little leg.
He's like, yeah, payday.
Let's get waffling.
Leaks, man. The nutsness that is GW leaks, the amount of leaks. Are they intentional? Are they not? And the reason why I wanted to talk about this was because you had all your Christmases come early. The fucking Nightbringer got redone. And
honestly.
Leaked. Right? Okay, so A, do you like the model? It looks amazing, right? Even the Tarantino feet look amazing.
Tarantino loves a foot, doesn't he?
He loves a foot, that boy.
Honestly.
He loves a foot.
Took me 3 days to clean that keyboard out. No, I'm joking. It's a
terrible.
Great looking model. Really, really cool. I think that they've kind of like re-envisioned his old model very nicely there.
The one that
given
I'm looking
it that
forward
epic
to.
Size, you know.
Oh yeah, the big
the threat. It needs to be the threat, he's, right?
He's like Void Dragon sized, I presume, right?
He's I assume he looks a bit wider and not quite as tall, or maybe he is because he's got his scythe up actually. But he looks like he's going to be a similar sort of size, yeah.
Yeah.
Big lad.
Do you know who I want to see? The Deceiver.
I can't wait to see the Deceiver. And I kind of want them to do another Transcendent Catan because I'm fed up with the fact that we only get the shit one that you get terrible. In the bloody Tesseract Vault. Yeah. Because, like, who's buying £100-something Tesseract Vault and then going, fuck the vault, I'll just have the little Catan out the middle of it?
I have a feeling that might be rotated out for next edition. You know?
You reckon? I haven't bought one for that exact reason. Good. They are really good, but...
Yeah, no. You've made great ones yourself, to be honest. You've converted great ones.
Yeah, so I've got a couple of fun ones.
So that was purely accidental. That was not.
Well, it's interesting because they've had that leak, and then I've noticed what they've been doing recently is whenever something leaks, they just drop the article for it the next day, regardless, you know, or later that day in some cases. So with this one, was obviously a kill team box from the middle of next year. So it's probably sort of like early 11th edition, kind of like I would say May time, maybe. Because I think we get, by the sounds of it, we'll talk about it later. It's coming next year at some point for sure. But it sounds like what's happened is the sort of December/January kill team box. We have no idea what that's going to be yet. There are theories out there. But we've already got this one, which it comes with new Raptors, comes with a new Sister Squad. And you got the Nightbringer, so as like a big boss, which is going to be wicked. So there have been some quite interesting leaks. No, like, real data slate leaks as of yet, but there have definitely been a lot of, like, codex leaks. And
codex leaks, miniatures
box leaks. Yeah.
Right, big, big box ones, because there's been loads, right? Angron, very famously. The whole fucking Saturnine box.
Yeah.
Right?
I still haven't sold one. Regardless,
please. But like, I what are your theory? Like, I'm gonna just lay it on there. I don't think the leaks are intentional, right? The conspiracy hat people, right? That are like, oh, it's to drive up hype. Total fabrication. And the reason why I know that for a fact is because old Suggsy, Louise Sugden, the old rogue hobbies. Awesome.
Your crush.
Miniature boss lady that she is. Did a recent. Shut up, Ed. Did a recent. I can't even think. I'm just a bit flustered.
It's because you're thinking about her.
Shut up, Ed. Shut up. Did a recent video concerning like mythologies. Okay. In
you're there in the end.
And she talks about the fact that she knew that the leaks weren't intentional, because what would happen at G-Dub's HQ is the leak would occur, mm-hmm. and then that afternoon, that weekend, they would call the photographers and get a writer on it within hours of the leak happening, even if it was like midnight or mm-hmm. a Sunday or whatever. They would be like, yeah, come in, we need to emergency do it, double time, whatever, go. Do you know what I mean? Like, get your fucking ass in and let's yeah. go, right? So we know that they're not intentional, right? And obviously everything has to be planned like years yeah. in advance in order to get all the tooling and all the manufacturing and all the models sculpted or whatever, right?
Yeah.
So who is, what is going on? Like, who is this mysterious leaker? You know, is it one person? Is it just because it's just such there's a massive
four,
company
there's four
now?
Possible sources, right?
Yeah.
Within GW, unlikely,
yeah.
right?
Yeah.
Can
yeah.
happen. I reckon maybe someone in Valrak sources works for GW. Because he seems to just know everything.
Yeah, right? I do too.
So that's a possible source. But I think that that source is very guarded and only gives it out to very, very quiet people. Yeah. Or very, very
or
loud
people. Or not quiet
people.
A loud person that keeps the source sacked.
Exactly,
right?
Exactly. So there's that. Then the next one is the people who print it in China can sometimes take pictures. We have seen that happen in the past.
Never even considered that.
The next one is content creators that get early access to rules, which again, I think has happened. And then the final one is shops when they get the product in pre going on sale, which again, we've also seen happen. So it's one of those four places really at the end of the day. I know for a fact that GW fucking hates it when it happens.
Yeah, I know.
Because it ruins their hype train because they love hype train and stuff. And like they don't want to be announcing a Kill Team box that's coming out in like May or June next year. Yeah. Now, do they really?
That would have been that Nightbringer would have been perfect for Christmas.
Because
they always do that Boxing Day preview where everyone loses their mind, right?
Yeah, and exactly.
And that would have been perfect for that. Do you know what I mean?
I hope we get another round of Grotmas detachments this year. God. Spoilers, GW. Keep us going. I think we will possibly anyway. I think they hate the leaks. I think they've been, from what I understand, cracking down on the amount of people that they give information to early. There are some the problems with that in that they just, you know, they need to ship out products to certain places ahead of time, and they can't avoid doing that if they want to sell the damn thing. So you know, you're never going to be able to stop all of them. Do you know what I mean? So,
and you're a multi-million pound company with thousands of employees, writers, creators, devs, right? Like, you can't suppress all that information, right? It's almost impossible, especially where you need so many people to work on the same project, right? So it's really hard to keep a lid on it. And yeah, bless them. They must be losing their shit.
I think that what they're doing, where they react quickly and just put the product out properly as a reveal, is a great way of dealing with it. Because
absolutely.
It's basically like,
it takes
okay, fuck you.
Back,
yeah,
it
exactly.
Takes the power back.
Yeah, exactly. It's like releasing your own nudes.
Yeah, totally.
So, like, you know, but I think it's a good way of dealing with it, because at the end of the day, then at least you've put a good non-potato quality picture of it out there.
Yes.
You're giving it a bit of context, and all right, you might not have wanted to leak it at this point, but like, you know, the Nightbringer, when we saw it, it was quite clearly, you know, going to be coming out at some point. So I think they did the right thing there. It's a difficult one to stop, I think, with leaks. There's always going to be some kind of leaks happening, and as much as they like to crack down on it, and I know that they probably try and do stuff to try and find out who's leaking, it can't be easy, bless them.
No.
It does suck for content creators, though, especially like when people put a lot of work in. Like, I remember Ollie from Broadsword, and he put like a lot of work into a video for Horus Heresy, and then it all got leaked and everyone just went off the rails with it. And I think that that video probably didn't do as well as it would have done had that not happened. So
this
that sucks.
Why,
but you know,
this is why we know it's not a conspiracy, right? Because human brains in the 21st century is always obsessed with like the new energy of a thing, right? Where it's like, new news, and when it's old news, it's dead, right? Where like, and I imagine that like due to like knowing how marketing works in a sort of Mad Many kind of way, that like you can almost trajectory sort of plot people's peak interests and stuff like that, right? And guide it through. And like, if you do it where, you know, someone, you time it badly and then it ruins your release, or at least it takes the guts out of it, you know, that could cost you a lot of money in the long run, right? So they don't want that to happen. Like
no.
Anyone that thinks that it's all the setup is a moron, because you don't understand how business works, right?
The sort of, I know there's some fan theories out there, and some people like say, oh, you know, Valorak's a shill and he's working for GW secretly and putting out leaks to sort of hype up things for down the line.
It's
I think it's bollocks as well, but I can see why you might think that that might be the case, because it does kind of hype product. If you know, Farrak goes, oh, guess what, we're getting new Terminator captains for all of the different chapters, everyone's gonna be like, wah! You know, and I kind of get that, like, it does work, whether or not it's because he loves doing it, because that's what he does, you know.
Yeah,
people could come to their own conclusions, but I do think personally I sit more on the side of that he's just doing his own thing, and that GW
my favorite Valorak reveal was where about 2 years ago, and he was like, or 3 years ago, and he was, it might be 3 years ago actually, it was like, Lion's coming. And I was like, Valorak said the Lion's coming. Like, all Dark Angels players in their head were like, the Lion's going to come back, he's going to wake up, you know, he's going to fucking wake up. And there was no guarantee that that was ever going to happen, right? And as soon as Valorak said that, I was like, oh my God, it's actually going to happen. And
you
like the
coming.
Hype for it, I was like, I cannot express my excitement, right? And like, and certain gifts come to mind. And it happened, and there was no clue.
Yeah.
There was literally no clue that that was going to happen. Like, granted, apart from the obvious, like, the Lion could appear at any moment kind of vibe, right? But there was no blanket sort of consensus from GW either way. And then it happened. You're right.
It's just the mental image of the Lion just walking out from behind a tree, like, watch out, watch out, watch out. Like, he just comes out.
Wow, wow.
He's here.
It's almost like we need, you know, that to be updated in the lore at some point. But, you know, like, whenever GW is ready to do that, hurry up, please. Like, we kind of want that desperately. Or at least I do. So kind of mad. We'll see what leaks are kind of appearing on the 40. Let's see if, like, you know, future edition leaks kind of happen or insight there. But, I mean, you were the beneficiary of this recently with the old Nightbringer. But,
yeah,
you
know, looking forward to that.
We'll see what's on the old
horizon. I thought I'd painted all the Fukin Catan, but I've painted 6 Catan already. And now I've got at least 2 more, maybe 3 more to do. You know,
Yeah, but I don't think you should complain about that.
No, they are great models. Like, a lot of people actually just get into Necrons because of Catan. I know that Males is on the fence. He's like, I almost bought the Deceiver the other day. And I was like, you need to pack it in. You've got enough armors on the go. Like,
bless him. But like, you collect Catan.
Not the Deceiver, Void Dragon.
The Void Dragon. You collect Catan in the same way that Space Marine players collect Dreadnoughts.
Yes.
Space Marine players just accumulate Dreadnoughts. Like, I've got fucking like 12 of them.
I've
got like 12 Dreadnoughts. Exactly.
What's
right?
Not to love, right?
Exactly. And you do the same with Catan, where you're like, oh, the Catan. But there we go.
And I ran them against Males the other day with my meme list and just broke him, body and soul. 6 of them.
That's harsh. I think, to be fair, though, he got his revenge, though, didn't he?
He did.
You got Nurgled this week.
I did get Nurgled.
You're going to get Nurgled again soon.
Yeah. I think so. Built up
Silence
resistance.
Is going right up your ass. Right, okay, so on the subjects of things being strong in the game.
I thought you were going to say that on the subject of things going up
ass. Up your ass. Going up the anus. What have been the strongest units of 10th edition so far? Now, this could have been at any point during 10th edition's history with various nerfs pre or post it, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
So you go first, Ed. What is your first choice?
Well, let's start at the beginning, shall we? Wraith Knights.
In the beginning.
Sorry.
In the beginning.
Wraith Knights. Yes. So when 10th first came out, they were broken as fuck, and they completely destroyed the game for like a couple of weeks to a month. I can't remember how long it was, maybe longer. Everyone was whinging about them because they were just absolutely cooked and they could just basically kill everything. And it was partially because dev wounds were different back then, where they could spill, and therefore you could hit someone with a 12 damage attack and just flatten an entire fucking unit.
I remember that first game of 10th I ever had, a Wraithlord took out 8 Terminators, Deathwing Terminators in one shot. Yeah. And I was just like, right now, and I was just like, oh, well, that's fun.
They were savage. Really, they were just absolutely vile. So I think you've got to mention them, like, to begin with.
Yeah.
They were nuts. They got, you know, worse as the edition went on, but...
Speaking of, I'm going to tie this immediately into that. Speaking of early units that caused a stir early on, this is my slogan. I want this back.
I don't
so
ever
bad.
Want this in your hands again, because our first game, this nearly broke me and made me go in the tank for 20 minutes, which is why this podcast is named. And this unit is responsible for this podcast now.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it's true.
It
like
is.
Blood was almost like dripping down your nose. Your brain was just like... you just get the computer.
I couldn't fucking figure out how to avoid the Overwatch from the bastards. I had to bait you so hard.
And of course, Desolation Marines, aka T-Cert Launchers, aka Rapid Fire Rocket Lads.
Bastards.
I love Desolation Marines.
Fucking
I miss
awful.
Them. So much. I missed them so
you
much.
You sat them at the back in your terrain on the top floor, so you got plunging fire or whatever,
and you could
just yeet anything from across the map with them. Oh. You could blow them up. You had like all the buffs coming out your ass. It was just horrible. Hated it. I had to basically throw away like one of my best units in an Overwatch you literally couldn't say no to get you to Overwatch, and then I could bring down my bloody Amnitic Locust, and I just floored them with them because I was like, you can fuck off basically at this point. And that was the only way I won that game, and it was a damn close game.
There was another way you won that game, which is psychological warfare.
Oh yeah, okay, because like, I told you not to attack my Lich Guard, and you were like, well, I fucking well will then. So that's you.
That's our relationship.
That's your
really.
Hubris, yeah. Which is going to be coming out this weekend by the sounds of it.
I've gone back to my old ways.
I'm so happy.
I've gone back to the old ways. The old ways of reaving. I had like a zen period, didn't
I? Bullshit. You were trying to jinx fate and it didn't work. And you've learned your lesson now. Because Russ basically, I was like, oh, your hubris is getting the better of you. And that's why you keep losing.
And then he
went like, okay. And he went all like... you know, fucking zen. And he was like, don't worry, Ed. If you win, so be it. The universe was meant to be that way. And I'm okay with it. And I was like, okay, I'm not buying that. I know you're seething inside. Like, I know
and I
you.
Think that, and that's why, too well. I actually think that's why Luck gave me a spanking.
Yeah, to teach you.
Like, this
a
isn't
lesson.
You.
This isn't you, Russ.
Yeah. Yeah, no, absolutely. So, like, yeah, I'm going to have to change my headspace there.
You do need
to. So I'm just going to be like, fuck you, man. Okay, so Desolation Marines, what's your second choice?
another one which has been very strong at points. AC/DC, also known as Accursed Cultists. Yeah, Accursed Cultists. What's the little DC stand for? Dark Commune. So it's basically you would take two boxes of AC/DC to make one mega big unit of Accursed Cultists. This is one of the most expensive units to run in the game, by the way, because it's about 120 quid
money?
To run this. Yeah. It's nuts now. And then you take the Dark Commune to lead them. And I think they had in their sort of their Chaos Cult detachment, they could advance and charge +1 to hit, +1 to wound, reroll hits, reroll wounds. They had something stupid like a 5-up feel no pain or something at one point. It was just absolutely cooked. Like this thing would come flying across the map at you. You couldn't kill it in time with anything because of how massive it was. It could regenerate bodies, which was insane because some of the bodies on there are like 3-wound big boys.
Big chunky lads. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So you could just regen a load of those every time you lost them. And it hit like a train. And I was just like, what is this? I played against it in an event once and it just absolutely ran across the board and bodied me. And I was just like, what is that?
They were so points efficient as well. You could, and I think they were always maxed out, wasn't it? It was always three big blocks of of the AC/DC box, and you just get ganked.
They would just run at you, and everybody would explode across the board and just flood you, and you just couldn't do anything. They've changed them now. They have like a blood surge mechanic now, which is good. You know, it's still really good. And they've lost the 5-up Fill No Pain. They got a 5-up Invuln if they're with the Dark Commune, which again is good because I think they've got like a 6-up. Save normally or something crap, or so you know it is. They're still strong, and don't get me wrong. If you run like three big blocks of those, that is still a force to be reckoned with. Yeah, definitely. There are things.
Also, they look cool.
They do look cool. I love the like the Dark Commune have got some insane models. They've got one guy whose like head is like held up on a little thing. It's like not attached to his body.
It's a dude carrying a psyker that's just a head, right?
Well, no, it's his head, isn't it? I'm pretty sure.
I think he's carrying him.
Oh, okay. I thought it was his head, like propped up. But anyway, you've also got like these really like Witch King looking sort of dudes with swords. They're really cool.
Old school looking. They look like old school 40K.
I just want for CSM right now, and this is my sort of like, please just do this, is for them to firstly give Chaos Spawn one OC like all the other bloody factions have. But secondly, is to just give us new kit for Chaos Spawn. Oh my God, the old ones are just gash. And like the torments or whatever they're called in the AC/DC bricks look so cool. They're like all these sort of cultists that are just like ripped, like having demons just like ripped half out of them. And just very if they could kind of
very Cronenberg-esque, right?
If they could take that energy and go into like new Chaos Spawn, please, my God.
To be fair, we've complained in the past about the degrim darkification of modeling, right? The AC/DC bricks are not that, man. They're
hitting
it hard.
A bit goofier than they could be.
I don't know.
They're really cool. Like they are dark. It's body horror at the end of the day, but like they're a little bit like. You know, some of them.
They're happy to be there. Yeah. Rather than like, we are eternally tormented.
They definitely could be more gross, I think. Yeah, you know, sure, they definitely could have gone harder on that, but they are really cool models. I won't lie. Like, I like them. But that's my second pick. I think they were really bonkers at one point.
Great choice.
Yeah.
I'm going to choose a staple of most knight lists, even today. And even bringing them in as allies for a lot of games. And that's, of course, War Dogs / Armagers of all flavors and varieties.
They've been
Dude, annoying. The strength of like a mini Dreadnought, I would argue, possibly sometimes a bit more pokey, depending on what it is. I can't remember the Chaos ones that everybody ran for so long.
It was Brigands, and those were insane because they got like +1 AP against the closest target or something, and they would just drill you with their machine gun.
Yeah, because they had like machine guns and melters, so they could handle pretty much anything.
And they hit on twos with everything, and they were just nuts. Like they've nerfed them since, they only hit on threes now, and their rules changed. But like all of the, you know, I think Carnivores are still amazing.
They are good.
There's some really good ones out there, and Helverins in knights, like general Imperial knights, are still really good because you can get them up to AP2 ignores cover now, and they're really strong.
That's really good.
Very naughty, yeah.
But they used to just be packed out, right, in lists for knights. It used to be like five, or like six or seven of those, right?
You could run like 13 baby knights, and that was like the Chaos Knights list. Yeah, 13 baby knights was the Chaos Knights list for most of the edition.
Thank you. I'm good. I'd be like, I'm all right, actually. You carry on.
Yeah.
You carry on. That's too much. 13 is far too much.
13 is pretty cracked,
So that's it. War Dogs, Armagers.
I've actually got a recent one. I've got an honourable mention that we discussed prior, but I've actually got a recent one which has come in as a bit of a bogeyman since this recent WTC, I think, and that is 20 Berserkers with a Juggalord.
Juggernaut Lord. Fucking magnets, Lord on Juggernaut. How do they work?
Yeah, exactly. those things have recently come in Berserker Warband. The reason why is they can, in that detachment, they can advance and charge. You can do an 8-inch reactive surge move, like a blood surge, if you get shot. with the CP, which is crazy.
Oh,
and they're one of the few units, especially on UKTC terrain, because it's not the same in WTC because you can fight through walls there. But in UKTC, you can put your units 1 inch away from the wall, right? This is one of the few units now in UKTC's game that can actually fight you through the wall. And the way they get away with it is they've got a 10-inch move because of the Juggernaut, and he gives them a 3-inch engagement range. Now, you still need to end with at least one model within real 1-inch engagement range, but that's really easy because you just put one guy around the corner into the unit, and the rest of them, you just pile them up against the wall. And now you can fight with all of those guys through the wall into what that unit that thought it was safe, and now you get absolutely flattened. And also, there's not much really that kills 20 berserkers in one shooting. And if they're going to 8-inch blood surge into you and fuck you up, like, that is a terrifying unit at the minute in the meta. A lot of people are suddenly shitting themselves about that because people are running like 60 to 80 of these things and just coming across the board and being like, we fast, and just flattening you. You know, you got Khan in one of them, probably, you know.
That's
terrifying
mean.
Missiles, and then they really get around some of the jankiness that you can do to try and protect yourself as a melee army. So scary. So that's a big current bogey.
What a great choice! What a great choice! Actually,
I'm up with the kids.
Sure.
Hi there, fellow kids. Hello, fellow kids.
There's like a Steve Buscemi meme, right?
Mm-hmm.
But also the intimidation factor of having 80 berserkers, like.
Up your crease.
Cracking at you, right? It's like you'd be like...
Oh, terrifying. God. Can't kill all of them.
Speaking of current boogeymen, I've also chosen a current boogeyman.
Go on.
And it is a boogeyman that I'm utilising to potentially great effect if I can make charges. And that, of course, Death Shroud Terminators.
Oh my God. Possibly the strongest unit in the game currently. And broken as fuck. Like, 6-inch deep strike. Is that you can charge out of is mental.
Well,
especially on a unit that tough and that hard hitting.
Yeah, like, this is it. Right.
Mental.
That'd be fine if the unit was mediocre at combat.
Strike Marines, yeah.
But Death Shroud are mean bastards. Like, they hit and they a big unit of six with the Lord of Contagion can literally pretty much
get
pick
Lance,
up whatever.
They've got like
Sustain. Of course, they get the benefit of the bloody like contagion, the contagion itself, whatever you choose, right? Mm-hmm. Damage to strike, the Lord of Contagion has damage 3 strike, like whatever. Just choose what you want to destroy and just take it off the board, right?
Yeah.
And just the consistency, and also the fact that they then get really struggle to then be taken out because they're really tough. They're like really tough. They're tough to 7, right? But also, anyone moves near them, and you're getting overwatched, bro. Yeah. You're getting
unless you're Eldar, you know, or someone that can turn overwatch off, but unlikely.
Yeah,
you know,
whatever.
Most of the time, you're getting overwatched.
Most stuff, so it can kind of 2, maybe 3 for 1.
It trades
an
up
enemy.
Mental.
Yeah? So you kill whatever you charge. You then overwatch whatever you want to, and then they have to still try and kill it in close combat. And if you run the right detachment, or you've got Morty near them, or whatever. Having a fight on death thing.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like,
you have to seriously screen these guys out. And like, there's a lot more people teching into the, you know, the 12-inch deep strike denial from things like infiltrators or the characters in various armies that have that. You get a lot more people running lots of shitty units like cultists or like creep hounds.
What, just to screen
just
stuff?
Just to screen, just to get in the bloody way, or like, you know, just loads of little bodies just to get in the way of that deep strike, or to just push it back up the board a bit and give you a bit of space. Like, because you need that. And the other thing is, there are ways to like light up the backfield of people's objectives. Or like, you know, units in various ways, which allow you to just get into like places you couldn't really get in before. So you kind of have to just 6-inch deep strike protect your backfield as well, which for a lot of armies, elite armies and stuff, is not always easy to do. So, you know, tricky on that. I feel like we might see it go to 7 inches in the day to
slate. I'm not bothered about that because I actually think from a lore perspective, that makes so much sense.
Yeah.
We're like death
maybe
guards,
we'll just see a change to the rule completely. Like, I don't know what's going to happen. They're really good. I don't want to see them like come off of tables because I love Death Shroud and I think they are a core unit.
They should be what they are. They should be what they are.
100%. Like the everything about them is perfect except for their rule, their ability.
No, I think
that is. Yeah, yeah, but you would say that as a Death Guard player. I think it's kind of breaking the game a little bit at the minute. And I think that there's a lot of people saying the same thing out there. So like
7-inch. 7-inch.
8-inch. 12-inch?
No, 7. 7.
We'll see what happens.
7. 7, because it's also Nurgle's number. 7 inches. Makes sense. Yeah. 7 inches. 7 inches. Because then it's just a +2 inch to charge.
I think we are, what, circa a week away, possibly, from a data slate. You know, rumoured to be about a week away. So
make Dark Angels great again.
Yeah, they're not that great at the minute, unfortunately.
They're terrible, though. It's second worst.
Well, you know, Death Shroud absolutely bodied them. And Eldardu and a few other bogeymen out there. You've got, like, Black Templars turned up on the field. Space Wolves, they're really strong. It's a real shitter that basically everything that's come out recently, like Space Wolves or, like, Black Templars, the best way to run them is still Gladius. I just really want Gladius to kind of fuck off at this point and just let people play with other stuff. It's so good. It's just so, like, it plays the game so well, that detachment. And I kind of just, I imagine a lot of Marine players are fed up of playing it as well, right?
I think for 11th edition, they need to lock out detachments for Marines, I think.
I don't know why they didn't to begin with. I feel like it would have been easier to balance them as well, maybe, from that perspective. You know, you could have put a bit more power into their codexes. If you can lock them out of other detachments, maybe. I don't know.
Yeah, but both there's the Space Marine Codex and also the actual...
But, like, a lot of the detachments that have come out are kind of dudders, like, for them. Like, you know, the Marines ones, the sort of expansion ones. So, you know, look at some of the Black Templar detachments. They're okay, but they're no Gladius, you know. So
I think Wrath of the Rock is really good.
Yeah, Wrath of the Rock's cool. It's got some really good, interesting play.
It's just the data slates for Dark Angels.
Being able to basically old school heroic shit is nuts. Like, well, even better than that, you can just, like, walk up to stuff. Like,
it's I think the problem that Space Marines and also Dark Angels have right now is just their data slates are out of date. Yeah. But, like, they're just not. They haven't crept the same.
I kind of feel the same way with CSM. Like, a lot of their stuff, you know, you look at things like. Is it in Emperor's Children? I think, like, the Helldrake has, like, more wounds and, like. Slightly better something like
the spawn as well, right?
Why are our spawn zero OC still? Like, there's just a few units that you look at and you think, well, that's clearly an early 10th kind of rule, and we've crept forwards with that. And then they've given, you know, they've given some of the stuff like the same treatment, like, for example, with all the demon princes now being able to loan up. If they're a foot demon prince, they get loan up within 3 inches of infantry or whatever it is, you know. That's really cool, but they kind of need to backstep as well. And I've said this 1,000 times and I'm still going to die on this fucking hill. Like, all of the Blood Surge moves should be the same. So the Annihilation Legion one for Necrons, why can't we get in combat? Just retroactively put it to the same, please.
Why can't you? All you need is you need another classic 10th keyword there. You just need Blood Surge.
Yeah, exactly. They didn't get far enough. I said this at the beginning of 10th edition, and I'll stand by it. They did a really good job keywording. That actually was one of my 9th edition things that I was like, if I could kill the monkey's paw, keywording like is a little finger. If I could kill the monkey's paw in 9th edition, that was actually one of my biggest wishes, was just please give us like keywords throughout the thing, like Deep Strike is a keyword. And they did it, but they didn't go far enough. They only kind of like half did it, and there's so much more shit. Well, yeah, they've done a lot of it, but there's so much more shit.
Fight on death.
There's so much more shit that out there. Blood Surge, Fight on Death, various other things that could have just been a keyword across all armies, and then you could balance around that keyword easier. You could start to put that keyword into strats. Like, it just becomes easier to make rules around keywords if you put the damn things in the game. And also, while we're out on this, you know, thing. We've talked about a couple of changes we'd like to see. One of them was fixed fly by just making it minus move to go through buildings. Like I said, that was a really good fix. The other thing I'd really want to see is swarms getting breaching again. Like, why? Why? Okay, this infuriates me. Why can a man, right, walk through a wall, or a beast walk through a wall, but a smaller beast can't walk through that same wall, right? This just, it doesn't make any sense. He used to be able to do it, and now they can't. And I feel like in 11th edition, goddamn, please just put swarms back to being able to go through walls. It makes no sense.
My argument is, why can't bikes or cavalry as well?
Like, yeah, but bikes and cavalry, I kind of get, like, because you know, yeah, I don't mind it if you've got like, I think there's, you know, there's one or two strats that can let things move through walls, obviously with vehicles and stuff. I feel like bikes are in a nice middle ground where they're fast enough that they're faster than most vehicles, so they can kind of go around stuff. And I'm okay with the idea of them not going through a wall because they kind of, it doesn't always make sense. Like for some of the more agile stuff, like a, you know, a Space Wolf on a Thunder Wolf Cavalry, you could kind of see him going through or whatever, maybe. But like a CSM biker.
Can we see him like go to the bin? Can we see him like go to the bin?
No, you stop. Like Wolf Jail has done a number on your, on you, hasn't it? But like, you know, I could see some of the bikers and stuff not being able to lug a bike through as easily, maybe.
No, but it doesn't make sense from the law because the bike just goes through it. Like it's fine.
Yeah,
like,
but some bikes aren't big enough. Some bikes are too big. Like it's
but
I kind of get
fine.
It.
But then when the Outriders have such massive fuck off bases for no reason, then it's
but then
really
look at Locust Destroyers. They're all mounted, right? Why should they go through walls? It's kind of. I get breaches for AdMech because they are literally just like big dudes on treadmills. Like they could bust through a wall quite easily. They're heavy enough. But yeah, I think that swarms at a minimum do need to get old, like breachable keyword back. Just please. I want to let my scarabs come through and annoy Russ more.
No!
I love
it. Go away, your scarabs! Go away. Do you see that they've created a plushie scarab?
Yeah, can you get a
that I think you need for the barn just to throw at me in random games. Just throw it at me.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, speaking very quickly of
we tangented
it was a good tangent, actually, to 11th edition.
Mm.
The current 40K roadmap is now empty. I think for the very first time since 10th edition started, really, there is no roadmap that I'm aware of. Because the last little spoilerific part of the roadmap was the old school chapters getting redone, like the Salamanders.
Technically, Imperial Knights' Codex hasn't come out yet, and that was on the roadmap.
True, and I feel like
they've had a bit of a cock up like with their distribution for that.
Yeah. I don't think that was intentional, right?
No.
So, is 10th done? What are they going to do for the end of 10th? Like, what is going to happen?
You start this one.
Is that
you tell me what your ideas are.
I think it's dead. Yeah, I think 10th's going to die. I think next year we will see 11th edition come out in Easter/summer, right? I'm just sad that there's not a great bang end to 10th because, in my opinion, 10th has been... I'm going to come out and say it. 10th edition is the best modern edition of 40K so far, right? Fuck you, haters. Best version of it so far. I would have loved to have ended it with a bang.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like, I would love to have ended it with a bang, had something really cool to end it on.
Just got
to
plug my camera in.
Whether it's a really crazy mission deck or whether it's like some cool models or like a Primarch returning, you know, anything like that, whether it's Russ, like have like Lehman Russ return and just like flown away.
I'm here, don't worry.
What are you doing?
I had to plug my camera in. I realised I didn't plug it in and it was about to run out of battery. Sorry.
Oh, bless you.
Normally
no,
lasts
no,
a bit longer.
No, fair. I said Lehman Russ returning at the end at the end of 10th or something, right? Like have something crazy happen. But like,
I don't think he's going to come back at the end of 10th. He would have been in the Codex.
100%. No, I don't think so. I don't think so.
You would have been in the Codex.
Yeah, you say that.
Makes
but the
no
line
sense.
Didn't. No, the line didn't.
Yeah,
line,
true.
Line wasn't in the Codex.
True. Maybe. We'll see.
But like,
I'd like to see a Primarch return, but I feel like early 11th will be the way.
If I'm radically honest, I'm kind of sad because I kind of want 10th to hang around for a bit more and for us to refine 10th a bit more. If I'm honest, I would have had it for an extra year.
You see, I think, if I'm honest, from what I've heard, like I think Varak's been rumouring this one as well, like the 11th edition is apparently going to be a bit of a 10.5 and they're not going to step too far forwards. They are changing some stuff. But I think what they're doing is they're going to allow all backwards compatibility on all the codexes from what I've heard rumored that we've got currently until they get replaced by their new ones, which is great because it means that the end of the edition codex. Yeah. The end of the edition codexes aren't going to be shat on instantly like that time with Guard, at the end of 9th and stuff, which was very sad. So I think that's cool. I think you're probably bang on with your estimation in terms of timing for 11th. I would say May, June is probably about right. I'd guess May or sometime late May, early June.
What's your bet for the launch box?
So I've heard rumors it's Orcs versus Marines.
Classic.
I've heard that that's sort of where they're trying to push the stories. Well, it'll be Ultramarines, won't it? It's always fucking Ultramarines. Boring, but it is. I'd like to see it be Crimson Fists because that's so thematic.
Classico! You know,
yeah, they El used classico. To be the classic poster boys as well, right? Yeah. So I'd love that. God, I'm so tempted to do the Battle Barn Space Marines as Crimson Fists.
Do it. You should. Yeah. You should absolutely do it.
I'm really tempted. I bloody
and then
love
that could be your generic. Yeah. Space Marine, anyway.
I'm low-key tempted. To do stuff. But anyway, so yeah, I think hopefully we're going to see another load of detachments. We're going to see at least two or three more coming up in this balanced data slate by the sounds of it, because they're doing that now. I'd love to see some more Grotmas detachments, because that built so much hype for the game over Christmas last year. And that might tide us over.
Exactly.
Exactly. Yeah, I'll tide us over till the new edition, and I think that would be lovely to see. What was I going to say? I think things that would be great to see, as we discussed, is like, you know, a furthering of the keyword system into 11th, because I just think they need to double down on that. And it'd be nice to see one or two things, maybe some of the more beloved things from 9th edition returning. But I do agree with you on the whole that I love 10th. I loved 9th. Yeah. It was a bit crunchier, 9th. But 10th, I think, is more approachable as like for the everyman, for sure. And I like that about the game. It's still a fucking complex game.
9th felt to me a bit more stale.
Yeah.
When something was strong in 9th, due to the way that they now update stuff for better or for worse for people, in my opinion, for better.
Yeah.
Dark Angels in a Circle was a problem all the way through, right?
Yeah, they've got much better situations with their balance patches, right? In 10th edition, I think that's probably one of the things that they've done the best out of recent editions, is just balancing the game. And I know that some people are a bit pissed off that they've gone down a more competitive route with the focus of the game. Whatever. But I think it's always good to have a healthy game. And I think it's always good to have a balanced game. And if you look at some old RTS games, for example, when they stop getting supported, it's just left in that state for the foreseeable, right? And that's kind of what we had at points in 9th edition and with 8th edition before that. And they had little, fixes here and there that they needed to do, or emergency patches and stuff. But it's very nice to see that they take a broad look at the game and the state of it, and they kind of go, all right, these are the big bogeymen at the minute. We're going to take them down a little peg. These guys, Orcs at the minute, for example, have got a tragic win rate. They're on 33% or something awful. Mm. So pushing them up a little bit, just being able to tweak rules and not being afraid of doing that, I think is a really positive thing for the health of the game. Because I know that in the past they've been a little bit once we printed a rule, we don't really want to change it. And, I think sometimes that just needs to happen. Look at the Death Shrouds. They're just a bit too strong with the way they are at the minute, and they kind of need a rules change. So, I think that that's a good thing. And I think they've done really well with that. And I hope that to see that continue. And I think we will. I also love all the detachments that we've been getting. New ways to play your army is always cool. If you suddenly get a new detachment for your favorite army, you did with Wrath of the Rock, suddenly you're great. They all come back off the shelf. You bit buzzing again. You're thinking of lists, and that's great. That's nice.
Bile, right? Bile was one. As
he
well.
Was, yeah.
Bile was one.
So really cool. I'll definitely give that a go at some point, now that I've painted my real sexy bile.
That's actually my favorite detachment of 10th edition is Creations of Bile.
I think it's fun. Great. It's just fun. Good old honest run at you and give you a good fisting,
Good old honest super soldier smashing face.
Yeah. What's not to love? But no, I think we are going to see 11th, when you said, and I think although we've hit that end of the roadmap, there is still some stuff coming. We haven't had anything for Jukari. I don't think we're obviously getting anything for demons. They're just getting what
told
they got.
Told you.
You did.
I did say.
We're going to see what happens.
And I also said about Empress Children, and you poo pooed that at the beginning of the Empress.
I did. I was wrong. I'll hold my hands up. When I'm wrong, I'm wrong.
My predictions have been good.
They have
been. My predictions have been good. Yeah. I'm a soothsayer, goddammit.
Yeah.
But let us know what if you think that's it. Like, what are you looking forward to with 11th edition? We'll do another pod on 11th edition in general and really go to town on that. But like, there we go. Last topic, and of course it has to be a lore-based one.
How many Grey Knights does it take to change an emperor?
1,000. Got at least.
Go on.
So, in the latest Grey Knight Codex, there was an earth-shattering bit of lore that was in just a paragraph. I'm going to read it out verbatim for people, right? And it was expanding upon the really interesting lore that was called the Terminus Decree. I thought it was very different to what it was, which was the biggest mystery in like one of the biggest mysteries in 40K. But apparently, this is the Terminus Decree, held in a simple wooden box that only the Supreme Grandmaster may open. The Terminus Decree details the Emperor's final command to the Grey Knights chapter. The Master of Mankind can never be allowed to leave the Golden Throne. Forever.
Is that verbatim?
Either return to life, reborn in another's body, which is possible apparently, or ascend as some kind of warp entity. If he does, the Grey Knights must return him to his terrible duty. Indeed, they were created with the possibility of this event in mind, a task beyond the abilities of any other force of the Imperium. The decree offers no guidance on how such feats might be achieved. Great. For it's neither a weapon nor a magic formula. Rather, the Grey Knights would themselves be the weapon on such a desperate day. One that would likely have to cut a path through the ranks of the Custodian Guard and many others to see its duty done. Cooked. Absolutely fucking cooked. Where are we at with that, Ed? Come on, man.
Bring it on. That's great. I feel like, you know, everyone's like, how can the Grey Knights defeat the Custodians and all this sort of stuff? Do you know how I think I'll do it? You know when bees get attacked by hornets? They like swarm them and just like beat their wings and heat up and just kill them. I think that's basically the plan here.
Ironically, there's only 1,000 Grey Knights.
I don't get how they're going to do it, right?
Number. I think it's the same number of custodians.
They've got to have some kind of special secret sauce going on.
Yeah.
They're going to sort of like clump together and be like,
I guess what you could say is like all of the Grey Knights are psychers, right? So they can just like,
that's what I mean.
Into the throne room. But Sisters of Silence are a hard counter to that, where they just be like, like all of your like warp vortex of dooms are now null and void, like fuck you. And then the custodians just go, I'm just gonna stab you now with spears. I mean, like, however you like, what a crazy bit of lore. I thought the Terminus Decree was like the I always presumed it was the power button for the throne. To essentially like stop the
Turn
throne
it
from
off
working.
And on again.
Well, practically to like stop the throne working so that the emperor could be reborn or could get out. And then the conflict with the custodians is then like, no, don't do what the fuck are you doing? Don't do that. Like, do you know what I mean? Like, don't press the button. Do you know what I mean? And that was the great thing. But how are they gonna stop like the emperor rebirthing? Like, how is that going to be a thing? I don't know. Like that?
It's not clear.
it's certainly not clear.
There must be some kind of hoodoo voodoo going on, because I can't. Like, I don't think it's obvious from the lore we have now, and like what we know about the Grey Knights so far, etc. There must be some sort of way of them sort of like clumping together their psychic powers and basically almost pulling him back bodily into his, you know, into his shell.
I guess that was how the Emperor was formed, right, in the first place. So maybe that's kind of a thing.
Because obviously the Grey Knights are from the Emperor's gene seed, right? They're his chapter.
Rumoured to be.
The 666.
66.
Yeah, which is just
Malkador's love child as well, right? He kind of like formed them too. But like, I mean, I love the Grey Knights, but that's ridiculous. You know, they are going to properly need to do.
Although
Gael,
you
Caldor
say that,
Drago.
Like, yeah, Khal Drogo is a fucking absolute child.
Oh wait, he's not in the Codex.
Yeah, because he's going to get like a super, you know,
new model
some point in 11th edition. Yeah, I think that's what we're going to see is new Grey Knights in 11th edition. I think we will.
Yeah.
New sculpt.
A part of me wants to sell all my Strike Marines.
Yeah, I think now's the time.
Yeah, I'm kind of feeling that. Because I do want to play them. I actually really want to play them. But I have a real funny feeling, dude, that like next edition is going to be the update size thing. Because it just looks ridiculous.
Same for Jukari. We're going to see new Jukari as well. And we're going to see new Grey Knights. We're going to see new Orcs. We're going to see...
Well,
probably...
I think we need to do a separate video for this. Entirely, right? Because I also think we're going to see jet bikes return.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, we've already just seen a jet bike character come back, right? Primaris one.
But as like a unit, as like a fast attack unit.
Maybe, yeah, that'd be cool. I think next edition is definitely going to be the fast attack edition from what I've heard Remid say. It's going to be interesting.
Ravenwing, baby!
Yeah! We're
more
back.
Plastic crack to add to the fucking, like, fucking hell.
Who doesn't love a bit of plastic crack?
God. I did Deathwing this year. I just got to refinance myself and do fucking Ravenwing next year. Fuck me.
That's all right. If you can always fall back on your fallback job and...
Yeah. hopefully by that point the barn's a bit and we would just like get set.
I hope so. That'd be great.
You know where you're shoving that Ravenwing if you get Ravenwing.
Yeah, definitely. That. Yeah. One day. Yeah. Please, Games Workshop. Give us models. We need help.
We're not really corporate shills that criticise you at any potential.
I've already spent thousands of pounds of my own money on this bloody barn. Can't afford any Warhammer now.
To be fair.
It's true.
Well, yeah, true. Yeah, that is true. Well,
in that mind,
please watch this video. Please, sir, watch this video.
Please, sir.
Thank you very much, my illustrious co-host.
Yeah, thank you, my wonderful
co-host.
And I
hope you're going to need some sort of soothing balms for your Saturday game with me. It's going to be devastating. It's going to be devastating for me. Losing a game. I need therapy.
Five losses is a lot of losses, Russ.
Shut up, Ed. It's not going to happen.
You'll have only beaten me once in our entire history of games. But actually, you have only beaten me once. I've got 6-1 on you so far.
No, not in an entire history.
Mm-hmm. Wait, 5-1 on you,
sorry. No, entire history.
5-1 I'm on...
No, wait. I've beaten you twice. Have I not beaten you twice?
Once. You beat me that time in your living room when we played Floorhammer. That's it.
Oh, is that it? Oh, well.
Did we play any other games after that? Pre-barn? I think it was just that one, wasn't it?
However, to be fair, all of those games were like within 5 years.
Oh, yeah. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying there was no stumping going on. They were some of the sweatiest games of 40K I've ever played. We're very evenly matched. I'm serious. They're always within like 5 points of each other. Like, you know,
that means you got a good game.
Skin of my sack every time. It's you know,
skin of your sack
every time. So we'll see. This I'm worried about this weekend. I feel like you're going to get this one.
I know. Me too.
If I was a betting man, I'd put my money on you.
I think there will be bets. I have a funny feeling there will be bets. So everyone, log on. Yeah. On 7:30 PM on the Battle Barn, join the Battle Barn Discord for a live running commentary, probably involving Warboss John, Males,
possibly Apollo.
Apollo, the legend that is Apollo, whatever. So, like, we'll see. We'll see what happens. But GG, Ed, I will see you on the other side.
I will see you on the other side.
Place your bets now.
Yeah, place your bets in the comments.
In the comments, please. Love you, my man. And
yeah,
we'll
love
see
you,
too, all. We'll see you next on In the Tank 40K.
See you guys.
Boy, cheers.